We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown. Hello and welcome to the latest episode. I'm your host, JP John Pollis from the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. Of course, joining me is the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the Devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Good, JP. I hope everyone had good holidays. It was a nice time.
Now, everything going on in the world of WWE right now seems to be on fire, especially the holiday tour. I don't know if you've seen. Supposedly, they're making more money than ever right now for non-televised events, meaning house show events. Are you surprised by that?
They sold out with Dominic against CM Punk.
Yep.
In Madison Square Garden, the biggest gate in the history of wrestling that wasn't televised in the garden. It's crazy.
I was there. I didn't pay as much as a buddy of mine for the tickets, but I saw some of those ticket prices. Whew, they were crazy. But it's about 16,000 people, and it was definitely sold out. They sold all the seats that they set up besides the entranceway there. But man, crazy! What a moneymaker! Damn, that CM Punk guy is a pretty big draw, I guess.
What do you think the high ticket price was?
So a buddy of mine was one section ahead of me. He spent $250, but he wasn't the first row. So if he spent $250 and there was a row and there was a section in front of him as well, probably about $500 for a house show, which is nuts.
That's crazy.
I even thought $250 for a ticket was nuts, but it was they were all gone. So yeah. I mean, obviously, it wasn't nuts.
They're getting it.
Crazy. And
I heard they may put that match on TV.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. Yeah, good match, too. I mean, for what it was a good match. And to think about it, they had last year was 11,000 people. Usually it's a pretty good house for them just because it's a house show. It's MSG. It's holiday. That's probably a lot of the kids that are there. They're probably getting that as a gift. So this year they figured, we'll open up 12,000 tickets for MSG. They, as soon as they announced Punk, they had to open it up to 16,000 that they could fit in there, because that's how many people, me included, wanted to go because Punk was added to the show.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Man, just looking at it, I was thinking, how good of a draw is Punk? Is he really a draw? 10 years gone, basically. This was his first match at WWE after 10 years. Sold out the Garden for a house show against Dominic Mysterio, just thrown out there. So, and his merch was nuts. If you went to the merch stand, it would look like it was basically robbed and ransacked. It was empty.
I heard that too. Isn't that strange? A guy's been gone, 8 years? Basically 8 years. Got his ass kicked twice, but I'm not knocking him for. I think he did a hell of a deal to try it. But you come back after that and you draw that kind of congratulations to him.
If you look at it too, he's a merch guy. He's a draw. You know what I mean? He checks all the boxes for being like the top guy or like you're what you want out of a top star. I know all that other stuff comes with it, but I mean, this is huge. I mean, what a just home run after 10 years. And like you said, he lost in the UFC, all this stuff that doesn't seem to matter to a lot of people. They just love Punk. He's a draw.
It doesn't matter to them.
And I saw too, there was a Punk shirt. I wasn't able to get it because it was sold out, but there was a Punk shirt that said return to MSG. I saw people online were selling it for a couple $100. One guy was selling it for $100. One guy was selling it for more. So, whew, and people were buying it. This is a $40 t-shirt. They were buying it for over $100.
Wow.
Is this cultish, maybe? Is he really a cult leader, this guy?
Maybe.
He's taken after somebody we know that used to kind of be one back in Florida, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Although never said it, technically.
Yeah.
So when you look at Punk, what do you do with him from here? Just as far as seeing what he's been able to accomplish financially so far.
Well, you get McIntyre. You got Cody, you got the Bloodline, you got that other group, what's it called?
The Judgment Day?
Judgment Day, yeah, I was with Lewis in that before he went there. Hell of a guy. They got so much talent. Right now, you can put anybody with anybody, and it's going to draw. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I was listening. Just I wanted to see like who got the best reactions on the show, like who got booed the most, who got cheered the most. Jey Uso and Sami Zayn got a huge pop. Punk got by far the biggest, but Sami Zayn and Jey Uso are showing how popular they are. And we, you know, we don't even mention them sometimes when we're talking about some of the top guys.
I love Sami. I love him. His facials and his hands move. I'm just crazy about him.
So when you look at Punk, would you have him win the Royal Rumble or not win the Royal Rumble? Like, how would you book him, like, as far as where to put him on the card?
You have to have him win it, I think.
Really, you'd have him win it, and then what? Would he face Roman or Seth at Mania?
Well, that all depends about the big boy, right? In California, it all depends if The Rock comes back.
Oh yeah, that's another rumor heating up again. Do you believe it?
I don't know. It's heating up again. They've been talking about it. Last few days, like, it's almost done.
I know, I saw that. It's almost hard to believe because last year they said the same thing, signed, sealed, delivered, and we never got him. So it's like, is he just saying that or is he teasing it? Like, I don't know if I could believe it. It seems like Roman Cody too could be the way, but obviously if The Rock is there, it's definitely Rock Roman.
Yeah, and how many of the years can The Rock tease it?
Right, he's 50 years old now. I mean, he's not going to be, you know, younger anytime soon or ever again. So, yeah, got to stop teasing and just do it.
He's 51.
51, right.
Right. So.
And come on, just come in and put over your cousin, right? He's the big dog. He's the big, yeah. The head of the table here.
Yeah.
So maybe Punk versus Rollins, night one, Rock versus Roman, night two.
Yeah, could be.
As a booker, though, do you let Rock kind of take hostage of what you're doing booking-wise, or that doesn't matter? You're going to book the way you're booking no matter what?
Here's what you're going to do. He's the biggest guy in entertainment. You're going to send them home bitching?
No.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
This is Superman. You're not going to put kryptonite on him at the end of the show. He can give the belt up, you know. You could have a big, could imagine having a tournament for a belt with all that great talent they got.
Oof. Man, they're top heavy right now. I mean, they're definitely loaded.
If Dominic, who has been in the business, what, 2 years?
A little bit over, yeah.
Stole the show. The talent they get right now is probably the best talent ever in the history of the business.
High praise right there. Very high praise.
Can you name something?
Maybe WCW in during the NWO days, because you had Hogan, Hall, Nash, Sting, Luger, the Steiners, Harlem Heat, DDP, Goldberg. I mean, that's pretty Bret Hart at one point. Yeah. I mean, pretty stacked roster too.
Yeah, you're right.
But Triple H is doing a hell of a job right now with all these guys, especially. Yeah, we always talked about how good the roster was getting, and then you added in Punk and Orton, so it's like, oh my god! Then you added two legit huge stars, you know, of the last 20 years, huge main event guys to the roster. So, man, Triple H Mania this year is going to be pretty stacked.
Yeah, and then JR comes back. I mean, it's main event from top to bottom.
For sure. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, though, AEW, do you think they're falling apart at the seams here? It just seems like, I don't know, not good times in AEW. Ratings are down. A lot of the originals, like the start of the company, are all quitting. What the heck do you think is going on with AEW?
I think what's going on is they were the new kids on the block. They grabbed all the attention. And then after they said 800,000, it was 70,000. And then a car Gil left. Cody had left. A bunch of people had left. They had scrum. I thought about this. You know when Tony said he's fired with cause?
Yep.
That means there's a lawsuit. Unless, I don't know what I'm talking about, but with cause, that means that he did something to cause it to go down. So I don't know.
Tough to figure out what's going on there, but it looks like from what we're hearing and reading online, he signed an NDA in perpetuity, so he can't talk about it ever, apparently, which is kind of a weird thing. It's usually NDAs have like a shelf life to them, or they're usually, as far as I know, there's usually kind of an endpoint, maybe many years down the road. But this one was supposed to be signed in perpetuity, so nobody can talk about what happened with the fights and the NDAs and Punk leaving and everything else. So hard to say. But them letting him go is like, I don't know, it seems like that's the tailspin, too, that kind of set them down. Because they let him go, then all of a sudden it goes back to the BBF. They're getting their highest social media numbers ever. They're getting the biggest non-televised event with MSG, the holiday show. So, man, I mean, can you make a worse decision by letting the guy go? Jeez.
And then they have a group of demons running around against a guy that was a heel 5 weeks ago.
Oh, right? So bad. One of the worst storylines I've ever seen. Yep.
Yeah.
It's basically like when TNA did the Aces and Eights. I don't even know if you remember. That was a really weird thing with these guys in masks.
Yeah.
But they're beating, like, the guys in masks beat MJF last night, and they beat him for the quote-unquote Ring of Honor tag team titles. So it's like, so these Max jobber guys beat your champ? Like, it's so weird. Now Samoa Joe is working with the devil, and they had to explain it 10 times that Joe isn't the devil. He's just working with the guy. So bad. Oh, it's so bad. I almost hope that it's Tony Khan as the devil, just so it's so outlandish and ridiculous. You know, it just ended already, and just to make it the most outlandish thing you can make it.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
It actually kind of reminds me of the Black Scorpion, too. Remember we were talking about it last week, that horrible angle with Sting. That's what it kind of reminds me of, too.
Yeah.
Who's the devil? Adam Cole? Is it Tony Khan? Who is the devil?
I don't even know, but I would think it'd have to be Adam Cole, right?
You would think, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, oh man, just it's a really bad story. It's one of those things where they say that they want to tell a story and extend it over so many weeks and just keep it going and really tell the story. But when you look at it as a fan, it's just like, just end it already. The story stinks. Like, you can't just keep the story going and say it's a good story because of the length of it. If it stinks, it stinks, right? I mean, it doesn't matter how long it is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the thing they get going for them is Eddie Kingston and Bryan Danielson had a terrific match the other night. Terrific. Those guys could really perform if they could get the stories right. And they're not far away from doing that. But if they could get the stories right, I think they could get back on track. Maybe not as sound as they are as they were rather before.
Much, yeah, a lot
much better than they are now.
Yeah, I think a lot of their problems is the booking. I mean, they have talent there. I mean, they have a pretty good roster. Maybe too many guys, but they definitely have an issue just as far as the booking. The creative stinks.
Yeah, it's slow. It's slow. I mean, good matches are just good matches. You gotta have a storyline.
Right.
Like we mentioned it before. The Bloodline. When they were in Madison Square Garden, they opened up the show. It was 25 minutes of them talking. And nobody bitched.
Mm. It was excellent. That was great.
Yeah.
Great storytelling right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, AEW, I don't know. He needs help. He needs like a real booker. He needs somebody that's really can help him. Maybe like a Kevin Sullivan in younger years, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think he has an ego. And this is what he wants to do is book it and show people he can do it.
So as far as AEW is concerned, I know you know they've got a lot of issues, but let's talk about maybe a different company that had some issues back in 1992. Let's talk about Starrcade 1992. Of course, it is a Battle Bowl Lethal Lottery 2, December 28th, 1992, Atlanta, Georgia at the Omni. 8,000 people in attendance. The tagline, the ultimate challenge of skill, luck, and survival. Only one man can survive. Pay-per-view buys, only 95,000. Down 60,000 from the year before. The year before was 155,000. So Bill Watts takes over here, and the pay-per-view is just not looking good as far as financially, right? I mean, 95,000 down from 155,000, that can't be a good sign.
No, I think Bill's looking for getting fired as quick as possible.
What did you think about Watts in WCW? I know you're gone at this point, but what did you think about him? Because it just seems like some things are good and on paper could be a success, but it seems like business-wise are not a success for him.
If it's not his ball game, and it's very hard for him to work with a company.
When you look at Watts, did you get along with him or did you not get along with him?
I got along with him. Yeah.
Is he a corporate type?
No.
Do you think that's what like kind of led to his downfall? Yeah. Or what do you think led to his downfall?
That it wasn't a corporate type.
Do you think that all that stuff that was said about him and what went down with him, do you find that all to be accurate? Or you think, like, I don't know about that?
Well, when I heard about him peeing off the roof, off his office, it didn't happen right away. As soon as I heard about Henry Aaron, he was gone. Right?
Yep, pretty much, yep. And supposedly carrying the gun around. That was a part of it, too. He's carrying a gun with him.
Oh. They don't go for that.
Can't do that in a corporate environment, right?
No.
So as far as Starrcade 92 is concerned, Battle Bowl, this is the second ever Lethal Lottery Battle Bowl tournament. Randomly, tag teams will be paired together for a spot in the Battle Royal. So you win the tag match, you get into the Battle Royal at the end, a.k.a. the Battle Bowl, and that'll be the end of the night. So previous Starrcade, there was more guys. This year, it's only a 16-man tournament with 8 finalists in the single Battle Royal. So there won't be the 2 rings. It's just going to be the 1 ring here. Also, Ron Simmons will be defending his WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and Sting and Vader will face off in the King of Cable tournament final. This will actually technically be the last pay-per-view for Jim Ross, too, who would leave for WWF shortly thereafter. Is that a surprise that Ross leaves for WWF with Bill Watts still in power?
Yeah, but I think he knew Bill was going to be gone soon.
And as they're interviewing candidates to take over for Bill Watts, Jim Ross is interviewed, and they didn't hire him. Do you think because they were thinking he was too close with Watts, too closely aligned, they didn't want that?
Yeah, I think so.
Different philosophies, though, I would think. But obviously, he learned from him, and that's his mentor. But I would think different philosophies, right?
Much different, but I think that they think, well, there's only one way to do it, and they all learn the same way. It's not true.
Did you ever go for that position or think about going for that position?
No.
Tony Schiavone also went for that position as well and didn't get it.
That surprised me.
Really? Why?
He had been there the longest, just about. I thought he'd get a smart guy. Thought he'd get it.
So Bill Shaw wanted a fresh face, somebody new. He did want to keep Schiavone around, but he felt like he needed a new face, a new leader, somebody that wasn't the old wrestling guy, some guy that wasn't around as much. So eventually, obviously, the hire is Eric Bischoff. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, very much. Because Eric was third string when he came in, interviewer. And then he ends up with the job. Good job, Eric.
And he obviously was the fresh face they needed and shook things up and changed the business. Because you say what you want about Bischoff, but without him, there's no big change in the business. Hogan's probably maybe doesn't go over WCW. The NWO doesn't get created. Then there's no Attitude Era. I mean, if you realize all the way back in 93, the dominoes fall in the right way, and you get what you get in the Monday Night Wars. Because without that, and without hiring Bischoff to begin with, you're not going to get all those dominoes falling.
Yeah, he had them all fall in place too.
So last year, as we know, Sting won the first Battle Bowl at Starrcade 91. It guaranteed him a title shot. This year, a little bit different. You're not really guaranteed a title shot. You're just basically the winner of Battle Bowl. You like that, though? Do you think that there should be some stakes involved with this?
Yeah. I think there should be some stakes. Just wrestling for a tournament for nothing, to me, brings nothing out of it. What do you think?
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, so what are we doing this for here? Just for fun. I know the original Royal Rumbles were kind of like that as well. It was just kind of more of a spectacle than anything else. But at this point, and especially because last year Sting got a title shot out of it, you think that there should be some stakes involved.
Absolutely.
So before we get to the card, Rick Rude is supposed to fight Ron Simmons for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship, but Rick Rude is injured prior to the show. And off the show. So, I mean, when you get news like that, basically your main event guy is going to be heard before the show. That can't be good, right? I mean, you're kind of snake bitten a little bit.
No, it can't be good. It's going to be a disaster at that moment when I tell you that.
So he will be replaced by Dr. Death Steve Williams, who, of course, is Bill Watts' boy, right? I mean, he loves Dr. Death.
Yeah.
And this King of Cable tournament where Sting and Vader are in the finals, this match obviously is the end of the tournament. It was an 8-man tournament conducted through the weeks of TBS television, but it's the 20th anniversary of wrestling on TBS. That's what the King of Cable tournament means. So you like that? Like a little bit of an homage to 20 years on TBS?
Yeah, I do. Very much. very much.
So what's going to happen here is we'll start off with a dark match. Brad Armstrong defeats Shanghai Pierce in 7 minutes and 30 seconds. Just kind of a, you know, nothing dark match here. Of course, Shanghai Pierce is Mark Canterbury under the hood. So nothing here other than just a dark match to start the show. But I wanted to mention that and put that out there. I know you're a big Brad Armstrong fan.
Yeah. The best worker in the Armstrong family. He was unreal.
Do you think that they should have done more?
More with Brad.
He
just couldn't talk.
And it's funny, Dr. Tom, my buddy, talked to him all the time. He was saying Brad Armstrong behind the scenes is like a great talker. But when you put the lights on him, he wouldn't bring that personality on stage.
Nope. He'd clamber up.
Man, it's crazy. Because you could see, man, what a worker. And anytime you want a good match, it's like, wow, Brad Armstrong could work with anybody. This guy's awesome.
Yeah, he could have been a great cruiserweight champion. You know, he had so much potential.
Now, just to mention this, Rick Rude was at the event. He appeared very distraught. He's very pissed off. He wanted to challenge for the title. He couldn't challenge for the title. Then he was even more upset that WWE decided to strip him the United States Championship because he couldn't defend the belt within basically the 30-day time frame, which I know is always kind of made up and it, whatever. So he couldn't defend the time frame. They put the title up in a tournament. Dustin Rhodes wins that tournament. When Rude returns, he would actually feud with Dustin over the title. So it's funny, Rude doesn't really get another title shot till Fall Brawl 93 War Games, which is, you know, eight months down the road. So Rude's injury here definitely hurts him and hurt his push.
Yeah, it definitely hurt him. I mean, Dusty was trying to make Dustin an exact copy of himself.
Dustin, what a hand. What a great work. We're talking about him in a minute. When you're a booker, right, and a guy gets hurt like that, does he just move to the back of the line like they did with Rude, where they kind of just put him off to the side? Yes, he does do great things in 93, and he does have some great feuds and great matches, but does that happen where you just kind of push him off to the side and they don't end up going back to the front of the line? They almost, when they come back from injury, go to the back of the line?
No, you have to have him in front of the line. Getting them ready. Are you wasting all that TV time?
But do you think that an injury should hurt the guy, though? Should it make him go back down? Or did just you get hurt, you get put right back into the fray?
No. Did Tom Brady hurt his when he played Pittsburgh? The Jets, rather. When they put in Bledsoe?
Oh, yeah, against the Steelers, yeah, and Bledsoe won the game, and then they put Brady right back in the next game, yeah, yep.
So, who do you, you go with the guy that you win with.
Not like a Wally Pipp scenario here where Garrett goes in and you never play Wally Pipp ever again.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the tournament starts, if you will, the lethal lottery tag matches. Random pairings here. Van Hammer and Dan Spivey defeated Johnny B. Badd and Cactus Jack. Okay, match went about 7 minutes long. Are you surprised that Spivey and Van Hammer, of all people, are getting a big victory over Cactus Jack and Johnny B. Badd?
I'm surprised. Not that Spivey got the win, but Van Hammer had just started. I was surprised that they put them two together.
Did you like Van Hammer? Did you see anything in him? What do you think about Van Hammer?
When I got there, he had been working about 6 months. He needed another six.
I like Van Hammer just because of his look, and the gimmick is kind of funny. You know, he's doing the rock and roll gimmick. But really, I mean, I can really only think of him versus Cactus Jack being a match that stands out for me that I really liked from Hammer. I mean, I don't really think he was anything to really have that length of time in WCW. It was crazy just based on his look, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he was still there in the late 90s.
Yeah, I know.
Into 2000, he's still there. Crazy. So then the next match is Big Van Vader teaming up with Dustin Rhodes. Obviously, these are just done at random, just random pairings here. Vader and Dustin defeated Kensuke Sasaki and the Barbarian in 7 minutes. Obviously, you got to have Vader and Dustin Rhodes go on to the next round, right?
Right.
And some of these guys will be doing double duty. Not all of them, but some of these guys will be doing two matches tonight. Just to throw that out there as well. Then the next match up, the Great Muta and Barry Windham defeated Brian Pillman and Too Cold Scorpio in 7 minutes. So basically all these matches so far, just about 7 minutes. Muta and Windham get the victory over Pillman and Scorpio. Really good match here between these, you know, this random tag match.
Well, they got a lot of good workers in there.
Ton. And obviously, you know, they're bringing in a lot of guys from Japan for this as well. So it's, you know, it's always said that Watts didn't always have a great relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling in that office, and Bischoff kind of had to mend the fences. But you do have Muta and Sasaki and Chono all on this card.
Yeah.
So then we have Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and Sting defeating Jushin Thunder Liger, another Japanese guy from New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Eric Watts in 9 minutes. Okay match here. But, I mean, you got to have Sting, right? You got to have him go over and head towards the finals.
Yeah.
Then we have the NWA World Heavyweight title match. Masahiro Chono, who is the NWA champion, defeated the Great Muta by submission in about 13 minutes. Shockingly here, not as good of a match as you would think from these two, and I've seen these two have great matches against each other. For some reason, I don't know why. Maybe the crowd, the heat, not that great, but just not that great of a match from these two.
Probably the crowd not really knowing the guys.
And here in 92, obviously, they're not as smart of a crowd as they are, you know, many years later with a lot of the Japanese tapes and a lot of the stuff. You could just stream it. Or YouTube it. It's so much more accessible. They're a lot more popular now than here, even though Muta is pretty popular.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Are you surprised that Chono was the NWA world champion at this point?
No. Because he was the head of his company.
And are they really trying to get a better relationship with New Japan? Say, hey, we have one of your guys as the NWA World Champ.
Yeah.
So then we have Ron Simmons defending the WCW World Heavyweight Championship against Dr. Death, Steve Williams. Ron Simmons wins via disqualification. The match goes 15 minutes. Pretty good match here. I mean, nothing too great or nothing that stands out. But what do you think of Big Ron defeating Dr. Death, but you know, basically a fill-in guy for Rude by DQ, not getting a bit straight-up win.
I love Ron's work. I think he's fabulous. I love Doc's work. You have to go with the WCW champion. That's my opinion.
When Ron Simmons wins the title, this is, you know, months earlier, August in Baltimore, Maryland, beating Vader, is that a shocker? He beats him on a house show. Were you surprised by that? Like when you're just even from an onlooker that Simmons won the WCW world title over Vader.
Over Vader, yeah.
The first ever black champion, the first ever African-American world champion.
Yeah.
History, big time history for Ron Simmons.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to note, in Baltimore, 2 days after Starcade, Vader wins the title back, and he defeats Ron Simmons. What do you think? Like, should have Simmons had a longer title? I know it's about a four-month reign, but do you think he should have?
Absolutely.
Do you know anything about why it wasn't a longer title run?
No.
Do you know anything about why he beat Vader to begin with? Like, it's Vader had just beaten Sting 2 months earlier. So do you know why Vader had such a short run?
I wasn't there when Watts was there at all.
Oh, okay. Because Vader would then defeat Simmons 2 days later, and then he would basically hold the title for on and off almost about a year. So, I mean, he kind of was the WWE champion for a very long time after that. So he got his reign, but it felt like Simmons never really got a real long reign with the title.
Yeah.
Do you think that they kind of were blaming him for maybe a low pay-per-view buy, or do you you know buy that because this is such a weird gimmick pay-per-view?
No. It was just Bill's booking. He liked real big guys.
Next up, the WCW and NWA World Tag Team Championship match. Shane Douglas and Ricky Steamboat retained the tag titles, and they defeated Barry Windham and Brian Pillman in 20 minutes. Really, really good match here. Probably what you'd expect from those four, right?
Yeah. So, they had some unbelievable matches. And Shane and Steamboat were a great team. It's too bad they didn't stay together longer.
Yes, Shane ends up leaving, right? And then they kind of have to do the Dos Hombres thing and lose under the masks and do about it that way. So, yeah, it's a really interesting time. For Shane, like, he should have gotten a big push, right? It just seemed like he could have been like the next guy for WCW at one point.
Yeah.
And when you look at him and Steamboat, man, you're right. They had so many good matches, so many good tag matches. Probably not a better guy for Shane to like go under the learning tree and learn from than Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Exactly.
Do you think that Shane maybe a little bit didn't play the game politically? You know what I mean? Was that always kind of a problem with Shane?
Yeah, he went behind the committee's back to Barnett, and Barnett came right to the committee.
What did he say?
He didn't want to lose.
Oh, to Cornette? Is that what it was?
Yeah, you remember that one?
Yeah, he didn't want to lose to Cornette on TV. Yep.
Yeah.
You think he should just play the game and just do what you're told, or do you think he was right in doing that?
It depends. I mean, I think they want to see if he plays the game.
Is that one of the things that they always do in the business? See if the guy will play ball?
Yeah.
They and once
if you want to be a working man for that company,
right? And obviously Shane didn't play ball, and that kind of not got him in too much heat, but it definitely got him a little bit of heat, right? I mean, obviously him and Flair never really got along after that. I know Shane has his version and Rick has theirs, but it seems like that was a big point of contention with him and Flair when that happened.
Well, I don't think that Ric Flair would have ever wrestled in a bingo hall.
Me neither. I can't believe people actually believe that Heyman was telling the truth there. I mean, obviously he's bullshitting.
I can't believe that people believe that we would allow Ric Flair to wrestle in that bingo hall.
Yeah, definitely not. Hey, but Shane believed it. But obviously, him and Steamboat here in late 92 retain the tag titles. Go out of your way to watch that match. Anybody out there that wants to see a great match, Steamboat and Shane defeating Windham and Brian Pillman. Next up, the King of Cable Tournament Final. Just to quickly go through the King of Cable Tournament bracket, Vader defeated Tony Atlas in the first round. Dustin Rhodes defeated Barbarian in the first round of the quarterfinals. Rick Rude defeated Barry Windham, and Sting defeated Brian Pillman. The next round up, Vader defeated Dustin Rhodes in the semis, and then Sting defeated Rick Rude, and then thus we are here in the finals for the King of Cable. Sting defeated Big Van Vader with Harley Race to win the King of Cable tournament. The match went about 17 minutes. Another match. I would say this is probably the match of the night, probably the best match of the card. Yes. Awesome chemistry between these two. They're always great together. Sting gets the win. What do you think about Sting and Big Van Vader?
They always get do well together. So it ended up being a good show.
And then we got one match left here. We've got the Battle Bowl 2, which is, of course, all the winners from the tag match come in later here tonight, and they enter the Battle Bowl, which is a big battle royal. Van Hammer, Dan Spivey, Big Van Vader, Dustin Rhodes, The Great Muta, Barry Windham, Dr. Dusty Williams, and Sting. They're all in there. And, of course, the winner is The Great Muta, who wins by last eliminating Barry Windham in 14 minutes. Okay, match here. Nothing bad, nothing really to write home about either, but that's the end. Great Muta gets the win. Are you shocked by that?
No.
Why do you think Muta goes over here?
Because Muta's going to start coming over quite a bit.
Yeah, they do use him a bunch in 93. Well, really, I mean, they use him a lot in many years in the 90s, but he does come over a lot in 1993. He'll be the NWA champion eventually. He'll start a feud with Barry Windham. So he's probably a good choice there. But do you think ending the show with him winning and not reversing it and having Sting win the King of Cable tournament?
No, Sting should have won at the end. But for some reason, they did it that way. And I have no idea because, like you just said, it should have been the other way around.
Yeah, and I didn't quite get that. I mean, I don't mind it, and I like Muta, but I just thought, like, wow, that's your big guy, Sting. And I know this is King of Cable, but that could have been last, I think.
Yeah.
When you look at it overall, what do you think about the pay-per-view, and what do you think about the concept? Do you like Lethal Lottery, the random teams, and then face off later? You like it?
Yeah. I give it a thumbs up. I enjoyed it.
Feel like if you really want to go back and watch the show, Muta and Windham versus Pillman and Scorpio is good, and then Shane and Steamboat versus Windham and Pillman is also good, plus Sting versus Vader is match of the night. Definitely go back and watch that. I feel like there's some good content on this card. I don't know if the Lethal Lottery is quite a draw because there's only 95,000 pay-per-view buyers here, but decent concept with maybe not great execution at the end, but definitely if you want to go out of your way to watch Sting versus Vader. And like I mentioned too, Vader will win back the WCW championship 2 days later over Simmons. So that would be the end of Simmons' run, and he'd never be a world champion ever again. Kind of a shame in some respects.
Yeah.
All right. So let's hit the plugs. Let's go for the wind down here. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check the website tmptempire.com. Kevin, what do you got going on in this crazy world?
I'm going to take a couple of weeks off. I'm going to hurt. And so I'm going to stay at home, rest up, enjoy myself.
Are you okay? I mean, is everything...
I cracked a rib.
Oh, damn. Wrestling. Were you wrestling?
No.
Oh. Those days are over.
Four puppies running around my feet. I fell on a teak. Piece of teak that was sticking straight up.
Oh, no. Damn.
Yeah.
Have you ever broken a rib before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, what happened?
You tape it up and it heals.
No, but how'd you get hurt? Was it Mark Lewin's fault? Who hurt?
Oh. First time was amateur wrestling. And then I think the next time was Blackjack. And then Barry. Yeah.
Damn. Guess par for the course being a wrestler, I guess, right? I mean, the injuries do happen. They do come.
They sure do.
But thank you, everybody out there, for listening. Thank you, Kevin. See you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
Staying trying to pick it up. Oh, great move by Sting. Look at the man off his feet. That was a great martial arts move by Sting.
He got the big man off his feet.
Caught him again, and Vader down. He caught him right in the face with his foot, and Sting takes the big man down on two consecutive offensive moves. Waist lock. Oh, big old. A suplex. DDT by the Stinger. This crowd here getting rabid. And this King of Cable championship event. Oh, Strink, he picked him up.
You gotta be kidding me. He's gonna try to suplex him off the rope.
I don't know if that physically can be done. Kicked out of 2.5.
I'll tell you what, I'm impressed. I didn't think nobody could ever do that to Big Van Vader.
Sting going for the Scorpion. The Scorpion deathlock. Trying to turn him over.
He's got him over.
He's got him in it.
He's got him over.
He's got him in the Scorpion. And Vader is in the ropes. Sting will have to break it. Sting now up on top. Here it comes. This could be everyone. And Vader powers out.
Well, he's going up for a third time.
will go up one more time. 450 pounds up there. And oh, he's landing. He's landing. And
he got it.
He got it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the match, and now the King of People, Sting!
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code Taskmaster to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code Taskmaster and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code, Taskmaster. Remember, you can bet anything, You can bet anytime. You can bet anywhere with my bookie.